broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Great, good morning to you. Welcome to the 80th Masters weekend. The weather factoring in this weekend and course conditions much more important than who is playing in the field, actually. You know, the game. You can't play against someone. You're playing against the field. And Ron Cyrak, the senior writer for Golf Digest, is joining us from Augusta National to talk to that and many more things. Also joining us, Mary B. Porter King, because she's got an exciting event. It's We Love Ping Pong, okay? And it's coming up next Saturday night during the Lotte. After the Lotte finishes, it's a fundraiser, and you could get a sponsor table. All right, first off, we're going to thank the people who make this show possible right after we talk with Mary B. Porter King. We'll bring in Ron Cyrak. There's nothing like a game of ping pong to bring out the competitive personality of anyone. And you watch Michelle Wee and her friends compete at ping pong, and you get to truly see what's boiling under the surface, constrained while on the golf course when these women are playing golf. But wow. Ping pong matches were played. The idea for We Love Ping Pong was born, and I was watching, and I can see why this is so successful. Mary B. Porter King, the president of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Danielle. It's the Masters of Ping Pong next week.
Yes, it is. It's Saturday, April 16, 6 to 10 p.m. Hawaii State Junior Golf Association has a few sponsor levels available. Now, this includes the opportunity to play.
It does. That's the exciting part. So there's only a few sponsorship levels that play. We sold out of our major sponsors, which is our VIP level, but we do have the player level still available. And each sponsorship includes 10 people attending. And of the player level, they get to select one person to represent their team and be paired with a celebrity. So the VIPs are paired with Michelle. They paid the extra money, but there's some great players from the LPGA coming to participate. Even a Miss Hawaii is coming.
Wow.
And some other surprise celebrities. So they're paired, and they play against one another. Last time we did this, as we all know, Michelle won the Lotte, and her, like you said, her competitive spirit came out, and she went into the finals with her partner and against Daniel Dae Kim and Henry Yoon, but unfortunately she got beaten in the finals. It was amazing. It was like watching ringside boxing or something. I mean, they were diving for balls, and it was so much fun to watch. So that level's still available. That's the most exciting available level, I think. And it includes 10 guests, which is great. And all the food you can eat and alcohol you can drink or beverages you want to drink and free valet parking. And it's at the Republic. And so lots of room for people, but they need to get signed up very quickly because it's selling out. And we wanted to open it up to those who love golf, love ping pong, and love Michelle. So they just go to our website, which is Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, HSJGA. And you can register right online, register and pay right online, and we'll expect you at the door.
It's perfect. And Ron Cyrak, the senior writer for Golf Digest, who's at the Masters. Ron, you're with us.
How you doing?
Good.
Ron was supposed to play this year in the ping pong. He promised me.
Mary B. said to me, Ron, can't Ron Cyrak be your guest this year? And I said, if he wasn't 5,000 miles away, that would be perfect.
I need ping pong lessons from Mary B.
Yeah, well, come on out, Ron. We'll practice at least before we play.
So. Well, it's great talking with you, Mary B.
And, thank you.
And the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, these sponsorship levels include 10 guests to join in the action. One person of the 10 guest table will be chosen from your table to play against the LPGA. You can enjoy the evening of cocktails, great food from guest chefs, intense competition, and you just register at the hsjga.org website. And do it soon because the sponsorship levels are, and if you're afraid, like, I can't play ping pong, I don't know anyone who can, there's tables for people who just want to go and watch, too. There's also that level of sponsorship. Thanks for joining us at the last
minute.
Michelle.
All right. Thanks so much. And aloha, Ron. I'll see you this summer.
Aloha.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Ron Cyrak will be coming with us into the Masters. Actually, he's taking us inside the ropes. And we're going to thank the people who make this show possible. We'll be back with Ron Cyrak, senior writer, Golf Digest, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Creative Plumbing. Whether a high-rise, a shopping center, a store, or townhouse, custom or single-family home, call Creative Plumbing. Your plumbing has got to be done right. So call Creative Plumbing, 841-3287. And by Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, host to the Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years, an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities, Kauai's South Shore Gem. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, company, or home project into artwork. Futura Stone can build you a special place for your friends and family to gather. Barbecues, fountains, water features, and outdoor lighting. Futura Stone. Only the best.
The Masters 2016, the 80th playing of the first major of the year on the men's side. Of the top players, those under par, three are Americans, two are European, and two international. And that's what we've been working toward for some 20 years, global golf competing at the same level. But Ron Cyrak, senior writer, Golf Digest, only seven players are under par. Is that unusual for the Masters?
Yeah, we've had really unique conditions so far this week, which has been, it's been colder than normal and it's been windier than normal. And we've got both of those going on right now today. The wind's blowing pretty steadily at about in the about 15-mile range, but it's gusting up to about 25 miles an hour. And we're going to see very, very few low scores. I think we've got seven people under par now. We're not going to have that many people under par at the end of the day.
That's amazing. I don't remember a Masters when it's been this difficult. And with isn't there a freeze warning as well for night?
Yeah, we might have a frost tomorrow morning, but it'll be about 60 degrees by the time the leaders tee off tomorrow afternoon. Augusta is so much a place about precision and placing your approach shots in the right spot on the green. And you get some wind blowing, and you miss your target by 10 or 15 feet, not 10 or 15 yards. If you miss your target by 10 or 15 feet, you can end up in a really bad place that's impossible to two-putt from, let alone make birdies from. So the wind really, really adds an incredibly difficult dimension to this course.
Yeah, and the wind drying out the greens and the cool conditions. Someone asked me, isn't there something like underneath Augusta that warms up everything and can?
It doesn't warm it up, but it dries it. They have that sub-air drying system. But even at Augusta National, they haven't figured out how to make the temperature go up.
All right. The pairing today, you'd think it's a Sunday. That's the way it feels, because Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy are, for the first time, competing in the same pairing on the weekend. This has always been something they've crafted together right at the beginning of an event.
Yeah, they played together the first two rounds in this tournament before, but To earn your way into the final pairing and have both them doing it. Look, we got two of the big three playing together today, and the third one, Jason Day, is still very, very, very much in this golf tournament. So you have to say that they're getting a leaderboard exactly what they want. And you know, this is the kind of golf course where the cream does rise to the top.
I'm wondering, you're describing open kind of conditions, U.S. Open conditions, the open conditions, but this golf course is certainly not an open style course. It's very much created, and it's in a bowl. So when these guys are playing against one another in match play, would that make sense, or they just have to play their own game against the course?
Well, I think they got to play their own game against the course, because you're still going up against all the other people who made the cut. And as Steve said yesterday, the way this golf course is, somebody outside the top 25 could play their way into contention for tomorrow in today's round. And it's really not going to take, if somebody goes out and shoots an even par round today, they're going to gain ground on virtually the entire field. So somebody could make significant climb up the leaderboard today.
Jordan Spieth could succeed at defending, making him the fourth to do so in history if he accomplishes it. Is that correct?
Yes. Last to do it was Tiger Woods, and before that was Nick Faldo. You know, he's already setting records. Yesterday was the sixth consecutive round in which he's been the leader at the Masters. That tied a record set by Arnold Palmer in 1960-1961. So, you know, and last year Jordan Spieth tied the scoring record here at 18 under par. So he's somebody who's just really busily setting records everywhere he goes.
Yes, and then McIlroy could get the career Grand Slam, only the sixth person to do that. So that the storylines for golf writers, like Ron Cyrak, senior writer for Golf Digest, are pretty amazing this week. And then you throw in Bryson DeChambeau, who is a U.S. amateur champion, earned his way into the Masters field that way. Obviously, he's looking very much like he belongs there.
Yeah, I did. I mean, you know, he was right in the thick of things till he made a triple bogey on the final hole yesterday. But he's still only four shots back. So it's going to be very interesting today to see how he responds from the way he finished yesterday, and whether that is something that is a springboard for him or a stumbling block for him. And you never really know how somebody's going to react to adversity, and we'll find out very early today how he handles what happened to him on 18.
I was interested listening to him talk about what happened to him, and he was quite, masterful in his description. But speaking of someone who had a very difficult hole, Ernie Els, a 9 on the first hole. Was that Friday or no? It was Thursday.
Thursday, yeah. Yeah, we were originally told that it was a 10 with 7 putts, and then they devalued it to a 9. They literally had to go to the videotape to count his strokes to figure out. He ended up six putting the green and not 7 putting it. And his first putt was from 2.5 feet. So he six putted from 2.5 feet. That tells you a lot about the difficulty of these greens, but it tells you also a lot about how Augusta National can get inside your head. If you've got any flaw, any weakness, Augusta National is going to uncover it and expose it. And that's what happened to Ernie on Thursday. He's been having the putting yips for several years now, and Augusta National just grabbed a hold of his weaknesses and exposed it completely.
It also showed you not to take a short putt for granted, because he was going to tap in right? And it didn't go in.
Yeah, he tried to do a one-hand tap, and actually didn't even hit the hole with it. So it was, you got to take every shot here absolutely seriously. And I remember some years back, Colin Montgomery saying to me, once you start thinking about the putt you're going to have coming back, you miss the putt you have. And he's absolutely right. And it's really hard. You know, you can have a 3-foot putt here, and you know in your head, if you miss it, you're going to have a 7-foot putt coming back. And it's really hard not to think about that and just to keep your mind focused on making the putt you have.
Wow. I just was wondering where does Ernie Els go from here? And has anyone talked to him about what he wants to do after, I think he took a lesson, or he, I don't know if it was a lesson, but tried to work with somebody with his putting, came back the next day. It was tough again on one for him, and he just never recovered it. I never thought of Ernie as having a real difficult time with his game until very recently, when he started having trouble on the greens.
It's probably been about 5 years now where he's tried everything. He went with a long putter, and he's tried different strokes, but putting's all about confidence, and once you lose that belief in yourself, it's a hard thing to get back. But Ernie's an enormously resilient person, I have no doubt that he's gonna bounce back from this. You know, he's the kind of guy who'll shrug his shoulders and say, "Oh well, mate, we'll try better next time,"
yes.
You know, and just go on and do it.
So. Yes, he is, absolutely. Bernhard Langer. I'm like, Bernhard Langer, isn't he the oldest ever to be in this position in the Masters? He's a Masters champion, but here he is at the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, you know, we had when Jack Nicklaus was 58 years old, he was in contention deep into Sunday at this tournament, ended up finishing tied for sixth. I was here for that one, and that was amazing. But this was a good, we had Bernard Longer, Davis Love, Larry Mize, all guys who were north of the 50 years old playing on the weekend. Pretty remarkable.
It's wonderful. It's great to see. There was a quiet moment, a goodbye to Tom Watson. Some celebrities stood up and, you know, gave him a standing ovation from their living rooms. I saw that on Twitter today. But the goodbye to 66-year-old Tom Watson, who almost made the cut, but he said, reality is I can't play the golf course.
Yeah, you know, this used to be the kind of golf course, this used to be a place where local knowledge and experience would allow veteran players to contend. And guys, you know, I mean, Ben Hogan contended here when he was 55 years old. Nicklaus, as I said, at 58 years old. But they've lengthened the course so much now that that these guys can't just think their way around the golf course anymore and execute their way around the golf course. Number one is just a brutishly difficult hole now. They've moved the tee back so far that you're just driving right into the side of a hill. And, you know, there are some of these guys north of 50 who have to hit a wood into a par four there. So this course has become just too difficult for people to continue to play when they start to get up into those advanced years.
And with the wind blowing today, number one becomes even more difficult.
Oh, yes. And believe me, it is quite subtly, and because it is the first hole in the golf course, underappreciated as maybe the most difficult hole in the golf course. You're hitting a long shot into it. And then once you get there, the green is, remember, it's the green where Ernie took six putts. It's not an easy green.
No.
So I've always thought the key to scoring at Augusta National is to get to the eighth tee. Number eight's a par five. Get to the eighth tee, even par. Those first seven holes are really difficult. You look at any scorecard and watch what people do on four, five, six, seven. That's a tough stretch in there. And one's a difficult hole. Two's the easiest hole in the golf course. Three's a short par four, but a difficult par four. But other than that, five of those first seven holes are among the most difficult on this course.
Ron Cyrek, senior writer for Golf Digest. This is his 27th Masters, and his photo is on the Media Center wall. He was president of the Golf Writers Association of America, still, of course, a member. Makes you very proud, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's a nice thing that the Augusta National Golf Club does to recognize the media who work here. They have the photos of everybody who's been president of the Golf Writers Association, which was formed right after World War II. And Daniel, you've seen this media center. Well, when we leave here on Monday, they're going to start tearing it down to build a new, better one. And it's remarkable. I mean, the thing that we're in now is about a 600-seat amphitheater with every bell and whistle you could possibly want, which is remarkable when you think it's only used 1 week a year. And now they're going to build something better.
When I saw that, I thought, amazing. I mean, that's the most beautiful media center anywhere, and they're going to tear it down and make a better one. Let's go back to what I started with. Of the top players, those under par, the three Americans, the two Europeans, the two internationals, this global field is really quite amazing. What are your thoughts about this game now?
Yeah, exactly. As a global game, and you know, you really have to, again, give an enormous amount of credit to the role Augusta National Golf Club has played in being involved in Grow the Game programs. They created the Asia-Pacific Amateur Championship, and that the winner of that gets an invite to the Masters. They created the Latin American Amateur Championship, and the winner to that gets an invite to the Masters. They have we're in the third year now of the Drive, Chip, and Putt contest, where junior golfers compete nationally and then end up here on for the finals on Sunday morning at this course. It's very, very impressive the way this club has stepped up to encourage the globalization of the game. And yeah, I'm looking at the leaderboard now. I see, in addition to Americans, I see a guy from Northern Ireland, a guy from Denmark, a guy from Japan, a guy from Thailand, a guy from Spain. It says a lot about the scope of the game of golf.
Exactly. And at 1 o'clock when the show started in Augusta, 1 p.m., 7 o'clock in Hawaii, as we started the show, Brooks Koepka was teeing off with Chris Wood. Their Ryder Cup captains right in front of them, Davis Love III. You know, it's such a wonderful field, as you said, with the young and the old and the internationals. And we've always focused on Spieth and McIlroy because of their ranking and the history they can make. But going deeper than that, there's Sergio Garcia, Dustin Johnson, those two Cinderella stories, you know, when it comes to almost winning a major. What do you think about, let's say, Dustin Johnson on this course and Sergio Garcia?
Well, of those two, this course should fit Dustin Johnson the best. I mean, they're both long hitters, but the weakest club in Sergio's bag has always been his putter, and that's not a club you want to have any weaknesses with on this golf course. With Dustin Johnson, I feel about Dustin Johnson the way I feel about Bubba Watson, which are they are enormously talented people. The question is just whether or not their brain shows up when their golf club shows up. You know, are they going to be mentally engaged and focused? And Dustin is quite strangely, frankly, sort of morphing into the Greg Norman of his generation in the sense that he's an amazingly resilient person. He's had quite a few heartbreaks in major championships now, in the PGA, in the British Open, in the U.S. Open. You know, he's had chances to win three different majors and didn't get it done. But he just keeps bouncing back and rolling back.
Yes, he does keep bouncing back. Danny Lee, U.S. amateur champion, now a professional golfer, also at the top of the leaderboard. Hideki Matsuyama, ball striking, irons play. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that Matsuyama is somebody I would keep my eye on this weekend. He qualified for this tournament twice as an amateur by winning the Asia-Pacific Amateur Championship and made the cut here both times. He's played this golf course very well, and I think no Japanese players ever won a major championship. And my guess is that at some point Matsuyama, who doesn't get the due, when people are talking about young 20-something golfers, his name doesn't get mentioned as much as I think it should. I think he's going to be the person who ends that drought of major championship victories for Japanese players.
Yeah, a championship drought. I was just thinking that the last time a European has won the Masters, Jose Maria Olazabal back in, 1999?
Yeah, that would be it. Yep, that was it. Yeah, yeah. Faldo's run was 89, 90, and 96. Yep, it would have been, Olazabal did it twice in the 90s. And, you know, there was a run in there where the Europeans dominated this tournament through the 80s and the 90s. And the thinking always was, because their link-style short games translate very well to this golf course. You know, the shots around the greens here, they're such tight lies, you can't really hit those Phil Mickelson flop shots here. You've got to hit a lot of bump-and-run shots. And the Europeans have always been really good at that because that's what they play in those links courses. But they are on a long drought right now of winning this tournament.
Yeah, and yet they win the Ryder Cup. So we get the Masters. Who are you following today?
You know, I'll probably go out and watch that Spieth McIlroy group. I've been walking with Spieth the first 2 days, and he's just a joy to watch. The round that he played on Thursday was unbelievable. He shot 66, and he missed six greens. To miss six greens in this golf course and not make a bogey is astounding. To make six up and down par saves with the difficult lies and greens has is just phenomenal. And yesterday, Spieth 74 could have been a lot worse score. And, you know, I mean, remember, he finished by making a 14-foot par saving putt on 18, and he made a 17-foot par saving putt on number six. He can stop the bleeding on a golf course as well as any player I've ever seen. When things start going sideways for him, he knows how to stop it.
Got to ask you a question. The Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth final pairing, they're two completely different personalities in the way they play golf. Spieth takes his time. He talks. He's constantly analyzing, conversing with his caddy. Rory McIlroy is more stoic. He's quiet. He's a quicker-paced player. Who gets hurt by this?
Yeah, you know, I think what will happen is that, well, look, let's put it this way. Spieth's not going to change the way he plays. So McIlroy's going to sort of have to adapt to Spieth's pace of play. But the thing is, in a situation, is just to ignore the person you're playing with as much as possible and try to keep as much to your own rhythm as possible. That's going to, on the surface, it looks like that'll be easier for Spieth today than to McIlroy. Now, what they do have going for him is, by all indications, they like each other. You know, they're 4 years apart in age, but they're still, you know, in that young end of the spectrum there. They seem to know each other pretty well and get along with each other well. So that'll make it easier on both of them. But today, I think Spieth will have a better opportunity to establish the pace to be the way he likes it, not McIlroy's pace.
Thank you very much, Ron Cyrak, senior writer, Golf Digest. I'm looking forward to talking with you about the Golf Writers Association of America, the winners, the award winners, and the presentations on Wednesday. We'll talk next week.
You got it. Talk to you then, Daniel.
Thank you very much. We're going to come.
Have me on.
Oh, absolutely. You're a pleasure. Lance Gill Performance and Titleist Performance Institute lead instructor. We're going to talk about the uneven lies at Augusta and dealing with that and how you can deal with it. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing.
Experts on call.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
And now it's time for your game. This is the Masters weekend. A lot of people are spending their weekend watching. As a result, there are some tee times you might want to take advantage of. Poipu Bay has a 9:10, a 10:20, an 11:30. By the way, Vokey wedges are only $109 at the Poipu Bay Pro Shop. You want to go over there just for that. And there's a shotgun, the Liners. They're playing at the Royal Hawaiian Country Club. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. Lance Gill Performance, lgperformance.com is his site. He's a Titleist Performance Institute lead instructor, owner and president of LG Performance in Oceanside, California. In kinesiology, he's got a master's in sports medicine. Welcome to the show, Lance.
Thanks for having me back. You know, it's awesome to be on. That was a great interview with Ron back there.
Oh, thank you. I it's always, you know, 27 years. He's got a lot to talk about course knowledge.
Oh, yeah. It's well worth listening to, that's for sure.
And one thing, when I walked Augusta National a couple of years back, I just wanted to walk the course. It was the par 3 day and everybody was over there. So I just took the time to take a look at the course and walk it. And what threw me was how different it looks on television. It looks nothing like that in real life. The up and downs, the elevation changes, the steep hills. I mean, Amen Corner is the flattest part of the golf course, it seems, if I remember right, you know? So As I mentioned at the beginning, before we went into our commercial break, those uneven lies are major. And I asked Lance Gill, Landskill performance about being on the show to talk about something that's called, and I'd never heard this word before, proprioception. Did I say that right?
Proprioception. You said it well.
It's the unconscious perception of movement and spatial orientation that we all have to some degree or another. And I'm going to put that because I walk into walls.
Okay.
I mean, I don't make the corners well, you know, on a door. I should have moved around that a little bit better. So I think to some degree, we all, most of us are very good at it. I understand that it's possible for some people with neurological disorders to have some problems with proprioception. But is it possible to become even more aware of where you are in spatial orientation, where your body's, your movements are, like your backswing, I'm thinking?
Well, let's just make it simple for the listeners. Is proprioception is a big scientific nerdy word for feel, all right? How well do you feel or sense your body in the space that it's in? So if you close your eyes and somebody says, make your index finger touch the tip of your nose, how does that index finger get to the tip of your nose? Well, it's by the awareness or the feel of all those little sensors in your muscles, your bones, your ligaments that allow you to get that fingertip to your nose. And this is directly applied in all sports. Your ability to feel the positions you're in so you can maximize whatever activity you're doing. In this case, you're talking about your backswing. Many golfers don't have those proprioceptors in their bodies, we'll say fully awakened, all right? They're not trained to the highest degree so that, you know, you...
Oh, we just lost you, Lance. I'm talking with Lance Gill, and we've just gotten a major dropout. And just as he was going to tell us how we can awaken the receptors, so that you have a better understanding of where you are in space, in that backswing, we've lost Lance. Did we get him back, perchance? We're gonna call him back and see if we can't get him. He is Titleist Performance Institute lead instructor, and I promise we're also going to talk about those uneven lies. So here he is back again. So Lance, we lost you right when you were about to explain about the receptors not being really active and alive in a lot of people.
Yeah, and I apologize for that. People don't have those proprioceptors awakened or alive, and ultimately what happens is they don't have the ability to feel position, say that a golf coach would want you to get into. And if you can't feel it, it's the assumption that it's going to be hard to replicate time and time again. But a very simple way is to train the awareness of these proprioceptors. And ultimately, you start to get more input to your brain. And more input, better input, yield better decision-making, and that will help you in your backswing or your putting. And I think that's really where the Augusta Week is, where it's going to boil down to, is the proprioception of these athletes, especially on their feet. So you talked about the severe undulations at Augusta. I'm talking about those subtle ones that these guys are able to discern the difference between a 1 degree break to the left or to the right by using the awareness or their feel balance on their feet. Really is going to separate them at the end of the day.
Interesting. You know, I the thought came to my mind as you're talking. Does Bryson DeChambeau have an advantage because all of his shafts are the same length when you're on an uneven lie? But you're talking about subtle differences, not severe.
No, these are very, very microscopic. And here's an analogy I can give you. If you're walking down the street and you step on the edge of a curb, this is where many people roll their ankle and get an ankle sprain.
Yes.
Well, what happens is your ankle starts to roll, and those proprioceptors I'm talking about are activated because they're activated when there's stretching, pulling, compression, and it sends a message to the brain. This is all subconscious. This is not active by yourself. And basically that message goes up to the brain, and the brain says, uh-oh, we're going to roll our ankle and we're going to sprain our ankle. Now, the brain has a choice. Send a message back to the muscles to apply a response to prevent injury. Or if that message is too slow in getting back to the muscles, the ligament will rupture and you'll have the swollen ankle. So what we often do in our medical work is we train those proprioceptors so that that subconscious response time is faster and it's faster. And ultimately what happens is if you get all those proprioceptors working together, your feel starts to improve and you can you start to become aware of different things that you weren't, such as slight undulations or the position of your right arm at the top of your backswing, as you described.
Yes. Okay. When you're just starting off in a sport, like you're starting off in golf, and or you don't have time. So every time you go to the driving range or you go to the course and you get to actually, you know, use what an instructor's told you, you're like, well, I'm not sure if I'm doing this right. Am I doing it the way he showed me? Because I don't remember everything in the feel of what he showed me. And that's the hard part. So how do I make the proprioceptors in me become more alive?
Well, here's a simple way. This is what we do with all our tour players. You know, I'm a big advocate of clean teeth because they're on TV, so I tell them, when you guys are, and ladies as well, when you're brushing your teeth at night, I want your shoes off, and I want you to brush your teeth for 2 minutes, as recommended. But the first minute, you have to do it on your right foot. And what I want you to do is see how much balance or awareness of your foot, just the bottom of your foot, you can gain. Just 1 minute brushing your teeth, then switch over, opposite hand, opposite foot, for the second minute. And you're going to find, and people at home listening can try this today when you brush your teeth, your feet are going to be wiggling and jiggling and moving. Your hips will be moving. And it is through a repetitive practice of this that you're going to find that jiggling and wiggling quiet down. And that's what we'll term in science is called quiet stance. Is if you can step on your right foot with your left leg in the air and nothing moves. It's very peaceful and centered. And that would be an example of somebody that has a very good firing proprioceptive system from the lower quarter, we'll say, the lower half of the body. That's it. That's all you have to do to gain awareness is activate those sensors that tell the brain, oh, we're moving, or there's a ligament stretching, or a muscle's moving. But many of us are inactive. We don't move enough. So those proprioceptors kind of go to sleep, if you will. And I guess one other thing is the greatest, you know, sign for a proprioceptor not to work is previous injury. So if you had a previous injury, basically what happens is you damage a lot of these proprioceptors. And once you rehabilitate your injury and you're back to full health, your proprioceptive system still hasn't been rehabilitated. So you're going to be walking down the street, perfect ankle, step on that same curb, same injury will occur unless you do something about it from a balance retraining standpoint.
Excellent.
I hope that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. And, you know, if this sounds difficult for people who may not have tried to stand on one foot while brushing one's teeth, you can always put a hand on the counter in the beginning and you get better at being able to balance yourself. You know, don't give up just because you can't do it right away. You can always use a brace and then move on and get better at what you're doing. This is going to help you with those uneven lies that you're going to find on the golf course all the time. When I'm in my backswing, if I'm going slowly, you know, I'm fine. My proprioception is just fine, you know. But it's when I'm in movement, when I'm actually on the tee and I'm trying to hit the ball and all these things are coming at me, that's when I start losing myself. I start losing my ability to know where the head of my golf club is in my backswing. So,
well, this is important. This is important. And I'm glad you brought this up because many of us, when we train, either golf instruction or physical, we're training in a room, say a hitting bay or a gym that has four walls. And we'll do our balance exercise in there, our swing drills. And then we go outside into nature and we try to replicate that exact same motion. But now we have wind. Now we have moving trees, birds, people, cars. So the environment that we trained in is not the same as the environment that we're playing in. And that's where the spatial awareness comes in for the term proprioception. And so I find that a lot of people will be very good in a very, let's say, sterile setting, four white walls. But then you take them outside and the stimulus gets overwhelming. And that's what you just mentioned. What, when you try to put it in motion, everything, it can really overwhelm you. So a simple way to combat that is to take those same techniques that you've been training in the gym or at your house or in the lab and put them on the course. There's no reason why, while you're waiting on the tee, you can't stand on one foot and try to gain some awareness and understand that you're in a different environment and that will affect you differently.
Yeah, because if you train yourself while you're brushing your teeth and standing on one leg, your body becomes, it's like, okay, I know this rhythm. I have a workout routine. Even when I was in recovery from a back surgery, when I started doing that routine, my muscle memory started to kick in and said, I remember this. I can do this. Boom, 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 boom. So if you do this at home and you practice and you take it to outside on the range and you stand on one foot, all of a sudden your body's going back into, I know this. I can.
Correct.
That's beautiful.
Correct.
This is Landskill Performance. It's lgperformance.com. lgperformance.com. Titleist Performance Institute lead instructor. That's the best way to get in touch with you, right, Lance?
Yeah, you can just go to my website or email me at info@lgperformance.com. And if you have any questions, I'd love to help answer your listeners. You guys have a great show. It's very diverse, and they keep pushing the needle forward.
We got to keep pushing the needle forward. Keep learning, keep getting better, keep bringing in the information. Thanks, Lance.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Aloha. We're coming back and going back to the Masters, but we're going to the Masters with a more UK perspective because John Huggan is a contributing writer, and he brings that European perspective, the international perspective, on what's going on in the world of golf. And we'll be back with John Huggan, Golf World contributing writer, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing! 841-2837. Your experts on call.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
You know, what's interesting is looking at a leaderboard after, halfway through everybody. The leaders haven't teed off yet. So right now, if you look at the Masters.com leaderboard, Reed, Hoffman, English, Bradley, Dubuisson, Mize, Larry, like in Larry, you know, Larry Mize, yes, Langasque, Kisner, Kamer, Watson, Bubba, Watson, Bubba. Bubba Watson did not have a good couple of days. He just made the cut, and he played solo as they started the day. He was the first one out the gate, and he had a marker because no one else was there to pair up with him. But knowing more than I do about these things, because he's there, we're going to go straight to John Huggan, golf writer, Golf World, GolfDigest.com. Welcome to the show.
Nice to be with you.
Excellent. How's the weather? Are you bundled up?
Well, not right now. I'm inside, but if I was going out, I think you'd certainly need a jacket and a cap, or maybe even a woolly hat if you were that way inclined.
Yeah, yeah. How are the patrons dealing with the gusty conditions and the chilliness?
Well, amazingly, there's people out there wearing shorts, which I find a little bit hard to understand. But yeah, it's very breezy and very chilly.
Okay. Well, in a former life, John Huggan was the senior editor in charge of instruction at Golf Digest, writing hundreds of articles on the world's best and their teachers. So Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth, two very different styles of players because of their physical strengths and personalities. They're about to tee off. They're going to play this course. And what are your thoughts on this pairing and how these guys are going to have to tackle today?
Well, I think we're being a little bit premature if we're going to hail this as a kind of just a head-to-head between Jordan and Rory over the next 2 days. I mean, there's a whole pile of guys right behind them. As many as 30 guys, I think, could win this tournament tomorrow night. But so I think we're being getting a wee bit ahead of ourselves if we're going to anoint this as one of the great head-to-heads. I mean, I'm like everyone else. I'm kind of rooting for that. I'd like to see that tomorrow, but today might be a wee bit too early for that.
Absolutely. This is not something where you would have them playing. The guys are thinking about their own game and tackling this golf course because it's the golf course they're going against, not one another.
Yeah, well, the wind is supposed to drop a bit from around about 3 o'clock onwards, just about the time they tee off. So they may get the best end of the draw today. I think conditions are supposed to ease as the day goes on. So the guys that have been out there are out there right now. They're getting the worst of it. So, and it's very, very difficult. I mean, the combination of the pin positions, the greens, and the wind, I mean, this is as hard as it gets, really. It's like a U.S. Open, something.
Yeah, it is. It is. Exactly my thoughts. Like a U.S. Open, but not on a links-style course. And the bowl factor of this course, where it just, you know, it at least that's how it felt to me when I was walking it, that there's... It feels like it was built into a hollow, as it's called, you know, and it just makes those winds even more odd. So that aren't they putting with the wind playing a factor in how the ball's going to roll?
Well, that's a much underrated part of the game is when it gets windy like this is the putting, because not only have you got to stay steady, but the wind actually has a, especially on greens at this speed, has a huge effect on the lines, and it's very difficult to keep the ball. If the ball isn't going in the hole, it's likely to run 2 to 3 feet away at the very least. It's very difficult to putt stiff on any kind of putt. So you'll see a lot of guys sweating over the 2.5-footers today, I've no doubt.
Yeah, I bet. Well, you know, 2.5-footers, you just can't take for granted. What was Bryson DeChambeau's putt yesterday when he double bogeyed?
Well, it's probably in that range, you know, and obviously we've seen what happened to Ernie this week, and Henrik Stenson at the end of his round yesterday was having terrible trouble from inside, you know, inside of maybe a yard or so, and Jordan Spieth actually touched on that in his press conference last night. He was pointing out just how difficult putts that length were at that stage of the day, because the greens were a bit bumpy by that time, and plus with the sun going lower, you could see all the bumps and humps and bumps. So it was quite an intimidating business putting from short range, I think.
I've been watching a lot of television, as you can imagine, trying to be knowledgeable about what's going on at the Masters. And one thing I've heard a lot of from the European contingent is that we haven't won at the Masters in a very long time. I think Jose Maria Olofapel, who unfortunately couldn't be there this year because of health issues, he won back in 1999.
Yeah, he was the last one.
Yeah, yeah, we've had Australians, we've had
Fijians.
Yeah. But this year we've got, you know, McIlroy, Soren Gjelsen of Sweden, and Sergio Garcia of Spain, Shane Lowry of Ireland, Bernard Langer of Germany, Bernd Wiesberger of Austria, Danny Willett, Lee Westwood, Paul Casey of England. They're all in position to win for the Euros this year. Who are you watching? Whose game suits this field, this course?
Well, it's an odd thing, excuse me, that you point out that, you know, after such a period of European domination in the last 20 years of the 20th century, we've had nobody since. I talked to Peter Costas about this, the CBS commentator, and his theory makes as much sense as any, I think, in that he pointed out that since the turn of the century, the very best European players, with the possible exception, well, the exception of Luke Donald, the strength of their games has never been putting. I mean, if you look at Henrik Stenson and Lee Westwood and Justin Rose and those guys, the strength of their game is tee to green. It's not that they're bad putters, but it's not the best part of their game. And that is, that to me makes sense here, because putting is such a big part of the equation at the Masters.
Interesting. So, and I'm glad you said Justin Rose, because Justin is very, very strong, but he hasn't been finishing well lately. What's going on with Justin Rose?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think, again, it's the putting. I mean, it's the same with Henrik Stenson. I mean, I'm of the opinion that tee to green Henrik Stenson is the best golfer in the world, but he doesn't putt as well as some others, certainly not as well as Jordan Spieth, but then who does?
Yeah.
And that's the same for all of us. It's certainly the same for Justin Rose. And I tell you, there's another theory. Marco Mira, I talked to him the other day about this, and he was of the opinion that the guys who were winning back in the day from Europe, you know, Teddy Ballesteros and Bernhard Langer and Ian Woosnam and Sandy Lyle, Nick Faldo, at the time they won the Masters, none of them was playing full-time in America or anything like it. They played, you know, all over the place and mostly in Europe, which made them at that time much more adaptable. They were playing a lot of different conditions, a lot of different greens. You know, they were quite versatile in their approach to the game. Now, the top Europeans, almost without exception, they're just PGA Tour players like everybody else. And that, he thought, had given away the edge that the previous generation had, which I thought, again, was quite interesting.
That is an interesting, because, yes, when you're on the European Tour, you're in places where, you know, the PGA Tour greens are immaculately kept. They're like pool tables. They're beautifully done. And you don't get those conditions on the European Tour when you're traveling to Malaysia, when you're traveling to all the different places. I'm not trying to say anything negative about anybody's greenskeeping. But the conditions.
I think that does hurt them in the Masters, because I think a big part of being of winning here is being able to adapt, because it is different. It's not the same. This is hardly your typical PGA Tour venue. And I think by coming to play in America, Mark's point was that they'd given away a little bit of their edge. And I think there might be something to that.
There's also, in addition to the Europeans, there's the internationals who are so well represented with Hideki Matsuyama and Kiridesh Afrivanat. I can. Okay. Kiridesh Afrivanat of.
Afrivanat.
Afrivanat. Thank you very much. You know, in my mind, I can say it, but as soon as my mouth tries to tackle it, it's not working. Jason Day of Australia, Angel Cabrera of Argentina. It's really quite, I'm just so impressed with the field. When I started this show almost 20 years ago, the push was global golf, getting everybody to the same level where they can all compete at, you know, in the Masters, at the U.S. Open, at the Open, and have this kind of diversity. It's to me, it's thrilling.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's ideal, isn't it? I mean, you don't want anybody to be thinking of golf as an insular game, and I think the Olympics will hopefully help in that respect as well, and spread the word in the less developed countries in a golfing sense. But yeah, it's terrific to see. I think there's 16 countries represented here this weekend from the 57 players that are left, which I think is speaks for itself, really.
Yes, it does. Afrivanat of Thailand. Just my win, because I couldn't pronounce his name. I hope that's the case.
Well, but the big worry with him is finding a jacket that fits him, I think. That might be a problem.
Oh, and why is that?
Well, he's a big lad.
No, we see on television, we don't see that. How big is he?
Oh, he's large.
He's large.
It might be a triple XL, something like that.
Okay, Hideki Matsuyama. I think he's got a real good chance. He's played this course a lot. Tell me, who are you kind of looking at?
Well, I think it's just too early to tell. I mean, I could run you through the obvious, you know, the usual suspects, and But I think the one that surprised me the most, if you can put it like, is Søren Kjelstrup, the Danish lad.
Ah.
You know, his game, you know, he didn't hit it far enough to contend here. That would be the knock on him. But he's done terrifically well. He's played really well the last year or so. And partly because he's got a new caddy, he's been with him for 15 months or so, is Alistair Matheson, squirrel to his friend, an English guy who was actually on Jeff Ogilvie's bag when he won the US Open at Winslet, and he seems to have made a big difference to Søren. But, you know, to see Søren this high on a Masters leaderboard at this point is surprising, to say the least, given how far he hits the ball.
Yeah, well, Jordan doesn't hit the ball that far, does he?
Other than Søren.
Okay. All right. I just thought I'd ask the question as we close. The world tour progress, the European and Asian tour combining forces, is that moving forward?
They're talking. I spoke to Keith Pelly, the European tour head this week, and negotiations are still underway. There was a big shift in the top level of the Asian tour. The chief executive lost his job and a few others. And there's a new people moved in, but I think the European players are convinced that this is a good move for them. I think it's a harder job possibly to convince the top Asian guys that this is going to be beneficial for them moving forward. I think it would be, but I think some of them will be inevitably would be worried about losing their job. But I think that would be a false, fear. I think there'll be more than one tournament available to most of them in every given week. So hopefully that will come to pass, because in every walk of life, competition is no bad thing, and the PGA Tour does need a bit of competition, I think.
Yeah, I do too. It'd be great. John Huggan, golf writer, Golf World, golfdigest.com. Thanks so much for being on the show. Love talking with you.
My pleasure.
Aloha. We're going to come back and talk with Randy Chang. You folks in Hawaii know Randy Chang. He grew up here, went to school here, and went off to the mainland, and now he's director of instruction at Pechanga. That's right. We're going to talk with him right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Randy Chang, Director of Instruction, Pechanga Resort and Casino, board member of the Southern California PGA, director of Randy Chang Golf Academy. Welcome to the show.
Aloha, Danielle.
You're visiting Hawaii. You're not on the mainland right now, right?
No, I'm actually in California right now. Just got done giving a lesson and wanted to say hi to everybody.
That's fantastic. Oh, for some reason, I thought you were in the islands. Let's focus. You're working with kids a lot, aren't you?
That's always been our main focus back when I was in Hawaii. Now at Journey at Pechanga and other facilities that I have out here, that's our main focus and niche.
And Randy Chang, Director of Instruction at Journey at Pechanga, this is what I want to talk to you about is, because it's Masters Week, drive, chip, putt. I mean, a lot of people said, what's it going to do for golf? You know, it's kind of silly. But then when all the kids descended on Augusta National 2 years ago for the first drive, chip, putt. And then this year, it's just growing bigger and much more, attainable if you've got money. I mean, that's the one factor that, works so difficult for junior golf, because you do have to have supporters. You have to have to be able to travel and do everything that goes on to get to the games, to get better, to have the instruction. So what are your thoughts about drive, chip, putt?
Well, in the beginning, it was a kind of a growth initiative just to get people into the game and getting some competition going on. And then now what they've done as the the carrot at the end is going to the Masters. We've just brought the elite juniors to start participating in this. And we've lost the beginner intro fun type of thing. Now it's serious.
Yeah, no, yes. But the, yeah, now, yeah, I take my grandson to the first tee, Hawaii, and we have fun, and he's learning. So that
right.
There is that fun factor still in golf. But for I think people to see that juniors can, you know, they can strive for something. And some of these juniors have very strong competitive edges in them, don't they?
Yeah, well, the first time when it was going to the Masters, if you notice the competition, you know, the kids were not the elite players around. Now, you look at these kids, it's like, it's incredible. But that's what it's attracted because of what the Masters has done.
Do you think that it's good for the game?
Oh, it's all good for the game. But now it's just a different program now. And we're looking for programs that will get the young beginners having fun to have some type of competition, you know, until they can get to that elite level.
Yes.
So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you're working with 3 and 4 year olds. How do you get a little 3 or 4 year old to focus on your lessons?
Yeah, it's amazing. We've turned into more, you know, preschool teachers, and we've gotten a lot of help from them because none of the PGA books train us to teach a 3 to 5 year old. But it is a big market out there, and because of Tiger Woods, he's still, you know, has been an influence on junior golf in the world and the exposure of golf in general. So we have a huge following in that age group around Southern California, and especially out at Journey.
Excellent. How do you work with them? I mean, you do things. You must not just keep them trying to focus on one thing. You mix in practicing the grip, swinging, putting with the practical skills like running or balancing.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we added there's 3 components within the 45-minute class where they're doing the full swing, the putting, and then we added the exercise aspect into it the last couple of years, which has been really good. So they really enjoy it.
I bet they do, because kids love to run. There's nothing like it. I mean, speed golf is something that children should learn. You know?
That's what we focus on. Actually, when we get these kids on the golf course, that's what we actually, number one rule is, you got to get done in a certain amount of time rather than worrying about what your score is.
That's good. That's great.
Yeah.
And that's foot golf also works like that. You know, you can move along with a soccer ball and keep the kids engaged.
Well, there's a lot of neat things that we do that, you know, at another time we'll share with you folks. I know you got a short time period today, but I love to hear all this Master stuff. And I think golf is in a good place right now with the young guys like a Jordan Spieth. I can't believe he's only 22, and that Bryson DeChambeau. It's really good. I think golf is in a good place.
It is in a good place. Do you have to run off to do a lesson?
It actually just started raining over here.
It just started raining?
Yeah.
Where are you? Where is Pechanga?
It's in Temecula, California. It's kind of like our little wine country out here, and it's part of a huge resort and casino that's pretty much second to none here and one of the largest resorts in west of the Mississippi. So it's a neat place to work.
Well, I bet it is. But is it a neat place for us to visit, since we all love to go to, like, Las Vegas? Would this be a good alternative destination?
This is actually, I'd have to say, being a little biased, better, because there's a lot more to do. You know, besides, like I said, the resort and casino, they are making this kind of family-friendly place. They're going to have huge pools and huge areas of which the kids can actually have some fun at. And then also they can send the kids to our school over there at Journey. So, and then you can go wine country, balloon, hot air balloon riding. So there's a lot to do in Temecula.
Wow. We are KPUA Hilo, KGU FM Honolulu, KGU AM Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. And that's on Kauai, by the way. So tell us what, you know, we're talking about junior golf, and you know, we're really talking to the parents of the junior golfers, because the junior golfers aren't thinking about, hey, I'm going to go golf. They're thinking about, most of them, parents are thinking about, hey, I think maybe I could get my kid into the game. For children who are having a hard time on a team, because let's say they make a mistake and they let the team down and they take it very, very, very personally, it's not good for their self-esteem. Golf is a really good alternative. It's a sport, and yet it's the child and their own game. So they only have to deal with their own disappointment in themselves, not disappointing a whole crew of people.
Right.
So what do you tell parents? How do you get the parents, how do they talk to their kids about getting into the game?
Well, again, there's a lot of these kids that aren't good in that team arena. So this is one of those sports that they may enjoy more. But I'm still of the philosophy that they, in life, you still have to get along with people. And you have to, especially this generation where everyone's so stocked in on the, you know, the computer, the social media, and getting out and actually meeting and talking to people. So it goes both ways. The individual part of it is really good, but we also do that new junior league that the PGA has introduced, where it is a team aspect as well. But now we can, you know, have this team aspect for the parents that want their kids to continue team sports, and the individual aspect as well. But it's a lesson in life. So getting through these downfalls, or getting through letting a teammate down, those kind of things have to be learned, and it can be learned great in this sport.
And what would you tell a parent, you know, do they need to, when they talk to their golfers about instructors, you know, one of their talking points that you put together here, parents with young golfers should ask the instructors questions at each session about their child's progress. Can you elaborate on that, please?
A couple of things that I think that we emphasize at our place. Not only their progression, and we have a level-to-level type of program, just like the martial arts, where if they pass the first level, they get a certain color hat, just like a white belt to blue belt and so on. But the other biggest thing is protecting the physical aspect of their bodies. And we've seen that's a big discussion now with Tiger Woods and his back surgery. He did all that damage to himself when he was 2, 3, 4, and 5, you know, swinging the way teachers taught in the past of keeping that head down so long, the power coming from the legs, and so on. So we make sure it's understood that they're, number one, going to be protected as far as their instructors go, because all of our PGA instructors have to have background checks and trained with working with these young kids. And the secondly is making sure that their bodies are going to be preserved for the next, you know, 70 years they want to play this game.
Excellent. Randy Chang, Hawaii's Randy Chang, Director of Instruction, Pechanga Resort and Casino, Board Member of SCPGA, the Southern California PGA, and Director of Randy Chang Golf Academy. Thanks for being on the show, and I hope we'll talk again soon.
Oh, I hope so.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Bye, Danielle.
Aloha. We are going to go back to the Masters and talk with Bob Bupka. By the way, it's going to be a partly cloudy day with scattered showers on the windward side, and on the leeward side, mostly sunny with isolated showers in the morning, the high between 82 and 87, and the trades a lovely 10 to 20 miles per hour. They're not gusting like they were, but imagine the wind that was blowing just 2 or 3 days ago, and then put that inside a bowl that's kind of like what a gust is. And now you know what they're going to be kind of dealing with. I think the gusts are 25 to 30. We'll be back with Bob Bupka to tell us right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Teed up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath. Rip it and rip it. Did I? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
My expert on call for the Masters, Bob Bupka, golf reporter for Talk Sport in the UK, co-hosts the Grill Room Golf Show on Talk Sport now and on TuneIn On Demand. Welcome to the show, Bob. Hi, Bob.
I do want, it is an honor for me to be on with you, and I do want to just start out by offering my condolences to everybody in Hawaii as we lost a dear friend recently in the name of Gary Planos. Gary was a dear friend of yours, Danielle. He respected what you did. He loved your passion for the game. He was always our guest when we were at, you know, the plantation course there in Maui, and, you know, he's going to be missed because, you know, the Gary Planos type guys only come along every so often, and I never really called him Gary Planos. I always called him by what I thought was his appropriate name, Gary, what can I do for you, Planos, because the first thing he'd always say whenever we saw him was, what can I do for you guys?
Yes. And a wonderful spirit, and we had a beautiful remembrance for him on last weekend on the Bay course, and I was not able to be there, but I know a lot of people who were, and so I'm really glad you said that, Bob, and you're it's the kind of guy you are. You know, you're all fun and games, but you're such a big heart, and that's the beauty, right? I mean, that's golf.
Well, I tell you what, speaking of big hearts, the guys that are going to be playing here this afternoon, they better have big hearts because this is the first time I can truly remember, and I've been at a lot of Masters, matter of fact, celebrating this week of the 1986 Masters when I was fortunate enough to be the first one to interview Jack Nicklaus when he won that six-green jacket, a memory that I'll never forget, probably beyond any question of a doubt, not only the greatest Masters ever played, probably the greatest major ever played. And, hey, maybe we'll be able to do something here this afternoon to duplicate it. Hollywood Hollywood casting has put only Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy in the final twosome. I mean, Jordan Spieth going for back-to-back Masters titles, as you well know, Danielle, only three players in history have ever done that. and their names are Nick Faldo, Tiger Woods, and Jack Nicklaus, and Rory McIlroy going for the Grand Slam, and only five guys have ever done that. So you throw in that, you throw in third round of the Masters, you throw in 25 to 30 mile an hour winds, I better slow down, I'm not going to make it.
You know what I like about the leaderboard when you go to Masters.com is none of the guys that we're talking about are at the top of the leaderboard. You got Na, Reed, Poulter, Kisner, Dubuisson, Mize, Kamer, Bradley, Watson, JD. You know, it's like, where'd it happen to everybody? Well, of course, they teed off a long time ago. And I was wondering, how did Bubba do today? He played by himself.
Yeah, he did play. Bubba's been out of sorts. He didn't feel well earlier in the week and, you know, really didn't have his heart into it, Danielle. And I got to be perfectly honest. I don't even see Bubba. Oh, there it is. He shot four over today, which isn't that bad considering, but he's at plus 10 for the championship, something that never would be predicted. But he did have a lot of obstacles to overcome. It's one thing when you're not feeling well and then have to go out and play well. But it's another thing when Alex Maselli, my co-host, says that Bubba Watson is going to win. Once Alex says that, then Bubba had no chance.
Oh, well, Bubba was on 60 Minutes. Bubba was everywhere before this because he's a two-time Masters champion. So everybody had these high expectations. Like Bubba is the guy who knows the course. I don't think anybody knows the Masters Augusta National this week. This week is a whole different ball game.
That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. There's not one player. This is why there's a lot of talk about the amateur, Bryson DeChambeau. You know, he just bogeyed the first hole, which is not a good start for him. He might be a little nervous. He's an amateur today, and he's going to be a very wealthy professional tomorrow. So that is pretty interesting. He is turning pro tomorrow. He's going to be signing with Cobra. It seems like he'll be having his own set of clubs. He built his own putter. He's a physics major, probably smarter than the entire field put together. What he's been doing this week to relax, he writes his name right-handed, then he writes it backwards right-handed, then he writes his name left-handed, and then he writes it backwards left-handed. Try doing that, and when you get done, call me. That'll be about 40 years from now.
Thank you. I just got dyslexic listening to you talk about that. What am I supposed to do now? No, I get it. But it's interesting what these guys, this is Bob Bupka. He is golf reporter for Talk Sport in the UK. And the Grill Room Golf Show is now on Talk Sport in the UK. It's also on TuneIn Radio. So you can go find Talk Sport or the TuneIn and find the Grill Room Golf Show with, I'm surprised you brought up Alex, but I guess it's because, you know, you could say something. Alex Maselli and Bob Bupka very rarely agree on anything, which makes their show extremely dynamic. So the windy conditions, the dried out greens that are running so fast that people are having a hard time making a 2-foot putt. And we've been seeing that painfully, of course, with Ernie Els. And then with Bryson DeChambeau, which, you know, the person you just talked about, he had a tough time with a 2-footer yesterday. Why are these short putts so hard?
Well, you know, because these greens are so fast. And when the wind is a factor, even if you're only a couple of feet away, it's very hard to get settled in over a putt. I'll tell you how critical the wind situation is, Danielle. We were just notified just a few minutes before I came on the air with you that there's some serious consideration that they may have to suspend play. There are golf balls that are starting to oscillate on the putting surfaces, and if that continues, then they can't play. Hopefully, we just got a brand-new weather forecast in just moments ago indicating that, unlike the previous forecast, the wind may be dropping down, and if it drops down a little bit, it's actually going to be a huge advantage to the guys that go off the latest, and that would be Spieth and McIlroy. But what a duel. I mean, this final pairing is out of Hollywood casting. I mean, you know, if we handpicked the two guys we wanted to play in the last twosome, beyond any question of a doubt, it would be Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy. McIlroy's chomping at the bit to go after Spieth. Spieth chomping at the bit to go after McIlroy. It's going to be like a heavyweight boxing match.
Now, okay. These two guys. Let's talk about Jordan Spieth. He loves to chat. He loves to talk. He loves to take his time. He can be put on the clock at times, and then he gets upset that he's on the clock. So he's real expressive. He also likes to walk ahead of the person he's paired with. Right? He wants to be in front. Rory McIlroy is just a little bit different. He's much quieter. He doesn't talk with his caddy very much. When you think about the way those two guys are, do you see the head games that go on, even though they're friendly?
Well, they're not going to even have an opportunity to play any head games. They better have their head on their own game. And actually, you bring up a very valid point. Because if those two start concentrating on just themselves, they may be in for a big surprise. I mean, Jason Day, who has not played well, 72-73, he's even par today through three holes. He's at plus one. You know what? That's five shots out of the lead. And we're in Saturday. Five shots out of the lead for the best player in the world? Are you kidding me? He's got a chance. I picked Dustin Johnson before the event started. That was my pick. He's at plus one now. He's five shots out of the lead. So this is far from over. I mean, Danny Lee, a former U.S. amateur champion, has yet to tee off. He's at two under par. And then a couple of guys that are level par that could win in a heartbeat. Danny Willett from England, who just became a father 2 weeks ago, and Sergio Garcia. How many times have you said that name, Danielle? How many times have I said that name during the playing of majors, that maybe this is the time for Sergio Garcia? He was just on the range working with his father, Victor, who has been his teacher, the only teacher he's ever had. Garcia is only four shots out of the lead. Good golly, Miss Molly, what am I in store for here this afternoon? It can't be any better.
I'm so glad you did that. I'm so glad you got off the Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy. If this were Sunday, it'd be different. But because this field is so incredibly tight, and with the conditions, there's a lot of golf to be played. It's not a given that Spieth or McIlroy are going to be at the top of the leaderboard at the end of the day.
Very well said, Danielle. And that is so true. I mean, they may not even be in the top 10. I'll tell you how treacherous. Let me give you this example. Yesterday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, in third place, Phil Mickelson. 2 hours later, 3 hours later, he's not even here for the weekend. Fails to make the cut. He was in third place at 3 o'clock. Are you kidding me?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly what I was thinking about. And yet, we have Larry Mize. He's in the field, and Bernard Langer. That must be something for you. You've followed Larry his entire career.
Yeah, I was here in 87 when he chipped in against Greg Norman. When you think of poor Greg Norman, just think of three Masters. 86, all he needed was a par in the last hole. He'd have been in the playoff with Jack Nicklaus. He makes bogey. 87, he gets into a playoff with Larry Mize. And what does Larry Mize do? Chip in on the second hole. And the funny thing about that chip in, he's been asked for the last 29 years, please go down there and try and duplicate that shot. Larry Mize said, I did it when I needed it. I'm not going back down there. And he has yet to go chip that in. So, you know, anything can happen here. Then, of course, 96 for Greg Norman. He led by six shots going into the final day. Nick Faldo throws up a little 67 on the board against him, and Greg Norman never gets a green jacket. He was the number one player in the world for so long and dominated so much and never got a green jacket in that locker.
Do you remember when Hideki Matsuyama started with his wins in Japan, qualifying to get into the Masters? And both of us were extremely impressed with his play. Here he is. Hideki Matsuyama, Kiradesh Apiranrot, also in the field. Wouldn't it be something if the first player from Japan were to win the Masters? Or
would,
yes?
It certainly would be something. Would I be surprised? Absolutely not. Just a month ago, I was with a group of Japanese reporters, and matter of fact, I was at Tiger Woods' golf course 2 weeks ago, a brand-new golf course that he has built in Texas. I was there. There was a Japanese photographer from Golf Digest was there, and I said, Hideki, he is going to win a major before his career is over, and he just smiled. I didn't know, maybe he didn't understand English, but he was smiling at me, but I think he did. And, you know, Matsuyama has got more talent. He might be the best iron player in the game today. I mean, that's how good he is. And, boy, he's a hard worker. He's an outstanding young man. I like him a lot. And he's three shots off the lead. Spieth and McIlroy, they don't pay attention to the rest of the field. They may be in for a big surprise. How about Bernhard Langer? You just mentioned his name. He's currently four shots out of the lead. Come on. It's 2016. Are you kidding me? It's 2016. Bernhard Langer, four shots out of the lead.
It's really exciting. I mean, Tom Watson was one stroke back from making the cut yesterday. His final Masters, it's been an amazing week, hasn't it?
Well, an amazing week. Just think about Ernie Els. He takes six putts on his first hole. Six putts, five of them from a foot away. Six putts, and he misses the cut by three shots. And so if he takes three less putts, he's playing the weekend. Six putts from 3 feet. I mean, you know, first one was from 3 feet. The next five were from 1 foot. I mean, it was hard to watch, and I give Ernie all the credit in the world. He could have walked off. He could have packed it in. He could have reversed out of Magnolia Lane, but he stayed and he played and almost made the cut. It's just a testament to what an outstanding human being and what a fabulous golfer Ernie Els is.
It's fantastic having Bob Bupka. He's on Talk Sport in the UK. That is, you must be really happy to have your show on Talk Sport.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited about that. Talk Sport, I'm proud to say, the world's largest sports radio station. And our team of Janice, my partner, and myself covering the Masters for the world's largest sports radio station. I mean, how good is that? I mean, I can't go any higher. I can't. I'm on the world's largest sports station, and I'm on with Danielle Tucker. Come on.
Bob Bupka, thanks for being on the show.
Loved it. Loved it.
Thank
loved
you.
It. You stay well, my friend.
You too. Bob Bupka, Talk Sport in the UK, the host of the Grill Room Golf Show. It's also on TuneIn. By the way, you know, there's nothing quite like a game of ping pong to bring out the competitive personality of anyone. But when you watch Michelle Wee and her friends compete, you really get to see what you don't get to see while they're on the golf course. You've got to be very staid. You can't show your emotions. Well, underneath all of that, there's a lot going on, and it comes out during the ping pong matches. I saw the beginning when this whole thing started, and then it became We Love Ping Pong, an event this coming Saturday, April 16th at 6 to 10, with food and cocktails and guest chefs and intense competition. If you'd like to get a table, all you have to do is go to hsjga.org, sign up. There may be a table that could make you one of the competitors with the top ladies of the LPGA. Thank you for making the golf club possible, Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, your company, your home project into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. Creative Plumbing, whether you're building a shopping center, a custom home, a townhouse, if there's something going wrong with the water pipes, you've got to call Creative Plumbing, because it's got to be done right, and they do it right. Call Creative Plumbing. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, host of the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years, an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. It's the Poipu Bay Golf Course. I want to thank Raf for taking care of me in the studio, my on-air engineer, thumbs up. And I want to thank you for tuning in. Oh, by the way, if you want to catch any part of the show, you can always go to radiogolfclub.com. Click on the listen link. You'll find the live listen online, and you'll find the archive, so you can listen to all of the shows, this one included, in about a half an hour. Thank you for your mama, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2016.